You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It is easy to be brave, said Aesop a long time ago, from a safe distance. Behind a high enough fence, a little dog can always bark at the big dogs. Millions of people develop fake courage these days by nipping on a bottle until they think they have erected a high enough fence to bare their teeth. As a general rule, they succeed only in making a mess of themselves and becoming nasty even to their family and friends. That kind of bravado, which is not bravery, is satirized by Louise Carroll Thomas in her poem, League of Nations. How odd it is that a little scotch can raise Dutch courage to the highest notch. Altogether sober and completely human, with a lot of possibilities for suffering a great deal more than he had endured already, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "We are always full of courage." Bravery is a strange quality. It is not bravado, talking big but afraid to make a move. It is not complete lack of fear either, the kind of thing we sometimes visualize when we call someone fearless. When it comes to the crunch, bravery is mental, moral, and spiritual strength in the midst of danger, which is recognized to be what it is, dangerous. It is the willingness to suffer injury or loss for the sake of a greater objective. It is firmness of mind and will in the face of extreme difficulty which could cause others to shrink back with dread. Bravery is the action of the mother blue jay when her little babies are being stalked by the neighbor's cat. She dive bombs the cat, continually circles above, and dives again, screeching all the while. Many of you have seen a cat so confronted retreat to the doorstep and ask to be let in. Some people told me about the woman who lives across the street from them. She's a friendly, gentle woman. Children were endangered by reckless motorists who ignored the speed limits on her street and also the stop signs. She became a fierce defender of the weak. Nothing could stop her from standing up and protesting to the city council about the speed of automobiles on that street, carelessly defying the law. Courage is the young firefighter diving into the upstairs window to enter a room filled with smoke, crawling in and crawling out again, carrying an unconscious woman down a ladder to safety. He's a volunteer firefighter, taking the motto of the volunteer seriously, "I volunteer, because your life depends upon it." In April 1521, a monk by the name of Martin Luther was called to appear before the Imperial Council at Worms in Germany. People warned him of the dangers, but he replied that he would go to Worms even if there were as many devils in that city as tiles on the roofs of the houses. The presiding officer of the meeting was the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, Charles V. The meeting was attended by the highest officials of both state and church. When Luther was asked whether he would reject what he had written, he protested that as a monk, he was not accustomed to being in such an august assembly. After taking a night to think it over, he replied, "Unless I'm convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is kept captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I must take my stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." A young man named Daniel was made prime minister by Darius, king of the Medes. It was a great empire that history has made famous. other officials became very jealous and formed a conspiracy against him. They could find no fault with Daniel's official life, so they attacked his religion. Today, when people can find no fault with a man's religion, they attack him personally. The conspirators persuaded Darius to issue a decree making it illegal during a period of 30 days to offer a petition to any god or man except Darius. The penalty for breaking this edict was to be cast into a den of lions. In spite of the decree, Daniel went to the upper story of his house, where he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he got down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Darius was caught in his own decree. Because a law of the Medes and the Persians could not be revoked, he was compelled to throw Daniel into the den of lions. All night long, the king could not sleep. Early in the morning, he hurried to the den. In anguish, he cried out, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" There stood Daniel. Unscathed, he said, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no wrong." Paul explained why he was always so full of courage. He was like Daniel, taking heart because he knew the Lord. Paul said, "It is by faith that we have our way of life rather than by sight. That is why we take courage." Paul invited other people to have courage for the same reason, knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Make the best possible use of the opportune time, he kept telling people who had come to faith in Christ. Though we live on this side of eternity, we can never forget the other side. And there he is. And so we live, looking to Jesus, the beginner and ender of faith, who for the joy set before him endured a cross, forgetting about the shame. And now look at him. He sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. Courage in Christ is not just a matter of digging in one's heels, hanging in there in spite of all the difficulties. It is a matter of taking heart and taking the offensive, being of good courage, not only in the face of it all, but confronting it all. That's life. That's courage. It's taking the risk of faith, having the courage to love when others look upon love as weakness. What is life without courage? It's a mealy-mouthed business, a constant shivering in one's boots, a fearful toadying to someone else, an ungracious rejection of what God wants to give people with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Courage is not loud and blatant proclamation of one's own virtues. That's what life was for Paul before he came to know Jesus Christ. Before he was struck down on the Damascus road and suddenly became humble in the presence of the living God, the man learned his lesson very well. Courage is most often quiet resolution and ready willingness, courageous enough to care about others instead of spending life protecting one's own privacy or privileges. Far from being what he had once been, pursuer and persecutor of others, Paul had become a follower of Jesus Christ. What he had been was cowardly, and what he had become can truly be called courageous. It's the way heroes are born, even though they're not always recognized as heroes. Truly heroic people have faith to live and courage to love. Jesus died, and Jesus lives. Not just in our memory or in our mythology that we sometimes build around it. Jesus lives, having been raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. He's the firstborn of all creation. human being of all human beings, he is also very God of very God. Bearing the nature of God himself, he's the embodiment of God's promise to humanity. And just as much the embodiment of courage that makes for real life. Jesus does not come off as Rambo. Jesus is the one with real courage, the courage to care, all the way to the brow of Calvary, unswerving, uncompromising, and undiminished in his conviction that though it required his death, the selfishness of sin would be overcome and the satisfaction of peace with God would come through to people through faith in him with courage. Jesus had the courage to validate his ministry with his life. Paul's statement, "We are full of courage," might just as well be translated, "We are full of heart." The heart of Jesus, dying for the sins of the world, gives heart to people. Jesus is the vindicator of all who trust in him. He did not lose heart. Because of him, his people do not lose heart either. They know the secret of courage. They do not stand alone. They find it is true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Courage that comes from the heart of Christ is good for the bad times and also for the good times. It takes courage to say yes in the bad times. It may take even more courage to say no in the good times. Courage peers through the darkness and finds the cross of Christ, giving to all of life its real meaning. If there is sin, take heart. Jesus died for that sin, and God forgives. If there's suffering, take heart. There's always Christ, and he suffered too. The just for the unjust to bring us to God. If there's sorrow and loss, whether in death or separation, take heart. Even Christ on his cross felt abandoned by his Father, and he was vindicated with a name that is above every name. So often people pray for comfort without recognizing that the comfort of God and of the Word of God is not a soothing salve, but a strengthening power, replacing starch with steel in the backbone, with courage to care for the suffering, even when you're suffering yourself. It takes courage to be different when difference makes a difference. Knowing that you might get hurt if necessary to help the hurting calls for courage. When the whole world is going in the opposite direction, standing up and speaking up for Christ are sparks that come from the anvil of courage. At a particularly crucial moment in the life of the Apostolic Church, when they should have been considering a strategy about how to deal with the difficult situation, people prayed. Sovereign Lord, in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to thy servants to speak thy word with all boldness. Courage, courage enough to care, boldness without bravado, quiet courage taps the power of God in both prayer and performance. It is courage to dare, not to benefit yourself, but to care for others in praise for God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Dare to care, young people. A teenage girl was in a car with other young people. They decided to go to a certain place and do certain things she knew she shouldn't do. She said, "Let me get out of the car." She got out and went home rather than compromise her ideals. An 11-year-old boy was playing with two friends. They said, "Let's break some windows at school." He refused. They said, "You had better not tell the principal. Remember, there are two of us and you're only one." Today, he's a hero and they are punks. dare to care, parents. There are eternal values and absolute moral standards, truth that lasts and faith that is important, even though there are teachers around who insist that all of these are out of date. Stand up and speak up, whether at home or in school, because Christ is Lord and always will be Lord. Have courage. Take heart. You are not alone. Dare to care, all who say that it is no business of mine. Dare to care for the hungry and for the homeless. Dare to care for the victims of drought and also for the victims of plenty. Dare to care in the name of the Lord Jesus, for whom caring was not merely religion, but a way of life. We make it our aim to please the Lord, said St. Paul, whether in our home here or there. Obviously, here's a man who took life as an opportunity, and death as an episode on the way to life in all its fullness and glory. Now is the time of grace rather than of self-gratification. To those who've accepted the grace of God with the courage to care, there will be a day of glory that fades not away. The love of Christ holds us fast, and this is our firm conclusion, that one died for all, which means that all share in his death. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but rather for him who died for them and was raised again. Courage does have its reward. Courage comes from Christ and is headed toward Christ. He's the beginner of faith and the ender of faith. He gives life, and he is life's destiny. His love for you impels you to courage, the courage to care as he does, acting intelligently and with great heart to help people and heal their hurts. Exactly what he had in mind when he gave his life for the life of the world. Dare to care, my friend. Have the courage of your convictions. Make an offering of yourself. Have the courage to care for a very good reason. Christ cares. Paul said, all and in all is Christ. He was right. Right as rain from heaven, which is the shower of his grace upon you. Dare to care, for his grace is the promise of his glory. Amen.